Welcome to today's podcast. This is Ray Martinez. We're going to be talking about how Jesus describes heaven. Now, that's a little bit different note than we were talking last week when we were describing hell. And there was a great description how Jesus described it, and he was very detailed. But this time, Jesus speaks often about what heaven is like, and he described it as a place of eternal life and joy in the presence of God, the Father. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" You read that in John chapter 14, verse 2. That's our verse for today. Though Jesus acknowledges that in after-death heaven existed, Jesus devoted his preaching not to that heaven, but to the kingdom of heaven that he said was here and now near at hand in Mark 1:15. The principal message that Jesus brought to us was the gospel of the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew, the author of the earliest gospel, begins his account of Jesus' public ministry with these words. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message, "Turn away from your mistaken thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You read that in Matthew 4:17. By at hand, Jesus meant here, in the present, right in front of our faces, in our midst. A few verses later, Matthew writes, "Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing people from every kind of disease and sickness." Read that in Matthew 4:23. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes the type of people who inhabited the kingdom of heaven, namely the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, and the pure in heart. That's Matthew 5, verses 1 through 10. He told us that we should seek first the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 6:33, that is, that the realization of the kingdom of heaven should be the principal goal of every Christian's life. Jesus also speaks of heaven as a place of reward for those who faithfully serve God. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5, verses 11 through 12. Now, Luke 18:22 talks about the importance of seeking heaven above all else. That's where Jesus is saying this is the most important thing. He tells the rich young man, "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." In another passage, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Matthew 6:19 through 20. Throughout his teaching, Jesus emphasizes that heaven is not just a future destination, but a present reality for those who follow him. He tells his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." That's in John 5:24. Now, I've always believed this, and I'll always say this, that we are living in eternal life right now. If you're a born-again Christian, you've been baptized, and you believe in Christ, you are living in eternal life. It's just that this body hasn't passed away, but when it does, we'll go on into eternity. It doesn't stop. So really, in summary, Jesus speaks of heaven as a place of eternal life and reward for those who serve God faithfully. He also emphasizes the importance of seeking heaven above all else and living in a light of its reality in the present. Now, a couple of questions always come up during these studies, and one will be, will we know each other in heaven? Well, the Bible does not provide a clear answer to the question of whether we will know each other in heaven. However, there are some passages that provide some insight into this topic. One of the most cited passages is 1 Corinthians 13:12, which says, For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." The passage suggests that in heaven we will know each other fully, just as God knows us. Another passage that provides some insight is Matthew 8:11, which says, "I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now that's an interesting verse. This passage suggests that we will recognize and be with our loved ones in heaven as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are mentioned by name. Furthermore, Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." This passage suggests that we will have a perfect understanding in heaven and will not experience the pain of separation or loss. While the Bible does not provide a definitive answer to the question of whether we know each other in heaven, these passages suggest that we will recognize and be with our loved ones and have a perfect understanding of one another. Ultimately, we can trust in God's plan for our eternal life and rest in the hope of being reunited with our loved ones in His presence. Remember, when the disciples saw Jesus after His death, did they not recognize Him? They did. They saw Him and they saw Him as who He was and recognized that was Jesus. It wasn't all of a sudden a new face. It was they recognized Jesus. So if we recognize Jesus, I think we'll recognize each other. Another question, does Jesus say, "How do you get to heaven?" Well, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." We can't get into heaven by works because God doesn't pick favorites. Can you go to heaven without being baptized? Well, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit," John 3:5. He didn't set baptism as a hindrance to salvation, but just the opposite. We so often judge things by human standards, but God is not restrained by our standards. Now, where did the Old Testament believers go when they died? The scripture suggests that the Old Testament saints who died went to the realm called Abraham's bosom. You look at Luke 16, verses 22-23. It's sort of a holding place. According to the theory, these believers were kept in that compartment of Hades and not brought into heaven of heavens until Christ conquered death in His resurrection. You remember when Jesus died, it said that He took the keys of hell and He went down and He preached to those people. Well, the questions can go on, but I really like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. "God's love for humanity is boundless and unconditional. Through His grace, we are offered forgiveness, redemption, and the opportunity to be reconciled with Him. It is through this love that we find true purpose and meaning in our lives." Folks, don't worry about heaven. Heaven will worry for you. Don't worry about it. We'll make it. We will be there. It's God's promise. It's His assurance. He said He has gone to prepare a place for us. There's no reason to think He has not. The deceptive world will try to tell you differently, but God's word is true. You can count on it. You have a blessed day.